Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
And we're Matt and Kara.
Yep.
And this is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. Tonight, we're socially distanced. It's literally the only way we can record the show. I'm in the Midwest, Ross is in the Northeast, and Matt and Kara are in Arkansas. So we're back to having two-thirds of the show in the same time zone, at least. So we've done that a couple times recently.
Migrating back east.
Yeah, typically we're East Coast Central and there's somebody on the West Coast who's talking to us or very
Australia.
Yeah. Funny story about him. He posted a photo and tagged Cleveland. Joel's not in the US. Oh. There is a Cleveland, Queensland, Australia.
Oh wow.
That's funny.
And I wanted to make the joke about the mistake on the lake, but I was like, no, he's just south of Brisbane. He's in gorgeous country. I can't
remember. Literally. Right. That's amazing.
Yeah. So if Joel's listening, we're thinking about Joel.
Yep.
You had updates. You did things.
Yeah, I did things. I actually worked on my truck for the first time in a bit. I trimmed the mud flaps since they do nothing except get hung up on rocks. And I pulled the running boards off in preparation for the sliders that are in route. And
they are in route.
Supposedly.
Dude, it's been a hot minute since you and I have talked about truck stuff. We talked about other stuff, but we haven't talked about any of this.
We haven't caught up on our vehicular doings. It's been a bit since we recorded a show. We've been like staggering and spacing them out. So pulled the steps off, trimmed the mud flaps, and then went wheeling. A short trail in Massachusetts called Ma Belle. It's pretty much a mile up, a mile down, and it's rock crawling four low the whole time. I call it like a choose your own adventure, like a Goosebumps kind of deal. So that's coming down. On the right side there is actually the Gatekeeper, which is like TJ or, you know, two-door JK or JL rollover territory. It's like vertical. We don't play on that because we'd have to drive.
Do you know what the pitch was on that?
I don't know. I could probably find out. I know like the Way of Life guys and all of them have run this trail. So there's probably somebody who's got it documented, but it's good and steep. I mean, regular cab short bed Tacoma will lift the front end and, you know, either sit on the hitch or flop itself over. It's a fun little short trail. It was hot. It was like 90 in the shade with no wind. And yeah, we had a good day.
Degrees on my last trip, so I'm everything I see I'm comparing to 38 degrees.
38 degrees is extreme.
That's a bit different, but yeah, it was a fun day. You know, I still learning the GX on the trail. You know, I've only had it out on the trail probably five times at this point since I got it, and you know, still learning the limitations of all terrain tires and open diffs. So we're getting there. That's my buddy Joel's GX next to me there. He's on 35s very recently. And we had a very funny conversation the week before where he was trimming the front fender and didn't realize he had trimmed a structural piece. And then I FaceTimed him and he was like, why is this floppy? It's like, I don't know. So yeah, we had a good day. And kudos and props to our buddy Matt, who, Chris, I sent you the videos. He's got a third gen Tacoma on 35s and he was the only one who took the like the bonus lines, and you know, we heard some good skid plates smashing on some rocks, but you know, he made it up all the good stuff. And yeah, our friend Drew, who lives local, was spotting him, and yeah, it's always exciting to see what somebody is willing to subject their vehicle to, you know, like climbing 6 foot ledges and then just get back on the road and drive home like nothing ever happened, you know, get some wings and beer and pack it in. So
you wanted hot wings after a 90 degree day in the shade with no wind?
Well, so it was cooled off with beer. There was beer to at least cool it off.
Okay.
But it's never too hot for wings, you know? So, and that's kind of like our tradition with this place is like, we go there, then we go and get wings. Yeah, and that's all I got on the Northeast front. So, Chris, what's the latest in LX world?
Did I haven't talked about the camping trip, have I?
You might have spoken to Robbie about it.
Wait, I haven't recorded anything with Robbie yet. So
oh,
we're
good.
No.
Okay, so then no, you didn't
talk. Robbie was busy, which we can talk about that later on. No, I went out with my buddies, Brett and Ron, and met up with a couple other guys. They actually went two nights. Youth sports got in the way, and I was only able to go the second night, which my favorite part is the night before the youth sports got rained out, but there was still a Saturday morning youth sport. And so, like, I potentially could have gone, but, like, couldn't go. But when you go in Kansas, there's always cows. Like, especially where we're out towards the Flint Hills, there's always cows. One token windmill in the background as well. I'll point out in this picture. But yeah, so met up with Brett. He has a 100 series. He used to have a rooftop tent. Now he has an adventure trailer. Met up with my buddy Ron, who's into, he's got a Discovery with his adventure trailer. And then we met there. Ron's neighbor, basically, his name is Yop. And he also has a 100 series. So it was a very 100 series heavy
nice
trip. The night before, the part I missed before, there was another Discovery on the trip, so it kind of evened out with 200 series, two Land Rovers. But this is Yop's built rig. He's got the roof nest on top. He's got the 270 awning. He's got a lot of fun stuff. There's solar on the hood, second battery, all kind of that. He made sure they had ice cream the night before, which always makes me giggle a little bit. But we ended up, I don't know if I definitely have a video of it. We were gonna, so Kansas doesn't have trails. We have minimum maintenance roads that basically mean no one takes care of it, right? So you basically, if you link enough of those together, you end up with a trail. Well, somebody went, I wonder where this road goes. And that's where our trip went the other day, was down one of those minimum maintenance roads.
It's always
where fun. It had rained a bunch the night before, hence the youth sports getting rained out. But this little two track got super muddy and kind of crazy. And what you can't see from this angle is Yop is in front of Brett, and Yop went left and he was dancing all over the place. Like, his back end was all over the place. Brett stayed high, right, and mostly dry. So that's the way I went as well. But this whole, what's supposed to be a road, basically kept getting more overgrown and more overgrown and more overgrown. And we thought we were basically in Arkansas at that point, because that's what
familiar.
Yeah. So the pinstriping was occurring. Not super thrilled with that, since it was the first trip out for the LX.
Right.
But there was enough mud that you couldn't really tell, right? Like,
kind of like a
Exactly. So we drove that road and got to, Ron has a friend who has a farm down there, and it's kind of a dried out creek bed that, they've been playing with, and they have laid down some utility poles across the creek bed. One of their other friends happens to work for an energy company, and they were able to secure some, leftover utility poles. And so part of our day was, so the two main parts of the structure of the bridge were in place. They are kind of anchored in, but what we did was, while we were there, we helped create, the extra structure beneath to then support the utility poles a little more, because when they first built this, Ron had asked me for the dimensions of the Sequoia. So all of a sudden you're looking at close to 6,000 pounds running across those poles. So they ended up putting in some reinforcement under the bridge. And then, Ron went across the bridge. He had a great time, but then I got the LX out. I wanted to see what it could do.
Optional.
Yeah, you didn't have to run all this stuff. This was like, this is, you get to the farm, and if you want to go play down in the woods here, you can. Pretty much, they're building their own obstacle course, which for me, it's only 2.5 hours away. Super handy. So coming down this little gully here was a little crazier than I wanted it to be. I have a bad habit of, even in four low and in first gear, I hit the brakes when I should just let it roll a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there was a little sliding action to the right. Nothing bad happened or anything. It's a bad habit I know I have to get rid of.
IFS.
Yeah, exactly. But this is a shot from the side. So you can see, obviously, one of my kids was a little concerned. He's like, I'm not sure about this. Mm-hmm. But we had a good time. We went down the hill. Pulled up a mud flap and maybe put a little dent in the bumper back here.
Nice.
But it was muddy.
Stuffed.
Yeah. Definitely full articulation. Truck did great. This I've watched Ron with his Discovery and also Yop's 100 series try to work its way up here in similar like damp conditions, and both of them had to go attached to a tree and winch themselves up this little bit. I took one run up at it the first time and didn't have enough, backed up a little bit, which is probably where I compressed the bumper when I backed up. Smushed. And when I went forward again, I'm looking at Ron the whole time. I'm like, am I good? And he's like, no, stay on it. And so I think I got a little wheel spin out of it, but not much. Hence this kind of section that's chewed up a little bit over here. It doesn't look super clean for just driving directly up. But I got up, no winching, no big deal. Nice. Kind of drive around the backside. You end up in the woods a little bit. All in all, good times. Fun was had. Pretty sunset photos. And then I did come across the utility bridge once you kind of go around the backside. Brett was super handy and spotted me across. You can tell by the truck, we ran into a lot of mud earlier in the day on that two track. So it was a great day, great camp out. The one takeaway I have from it is I used the ground tent. It was totally fine. Doesn't rain. Like, it's just a pain in the butt if the next day you're then traveling somewhere else and you don't maybe have a ton of time to let it dry out appropriately. To be able to slam all that rooftop tent together, go to the next spot, set it up when you get there. Like, Ron had his trailer, Brett had his trailer. And so
looks like they're put away ready to go.
Right, exactly. Like, and here I am with my entire 8-man tent, because of course you buy a tent for the entire family. And then if it threatens rain, it's the only one that was like, my Sierra Design 3-man just has some, it's not openings in the rain fly, but like, it's definitely not as secure. I would want it to be in a driving Midwest thunderstorm that we are having at this time of year. So, I mean, I slept fine. Other than there's one train within a half mile of this place that for whatever reason hit its horn like 9 times at like 5:40 in the morning. And I was like,
scared the crap out of you.
It was just like one crossing. Like, why the 9 times? Like, what? I wonder what was on it, cows or something else. I don't know. Maybe a drunk person. It was early. Yeah, but no, good trip. Cool. Truck was great. I am gonna shout out Wildland Coffee again. I used those while I was on the Rogue Overland trip out in Utah. Oh, yeah. And I still had a couple left over. I don't know, Matt and Kara, if you guys have run into these things yet. They're single serve coffee bags. And so all you gotta do is heat up the water and put this in, steep at the appropriate amount of time, and basically it's coffee ready to go. I've been intermittent fasting, and this is how I was surviving at camp, because you can't eat a Clif Bar till 10. So I need some coffee to power me through till at least then. So hugely, hugely helpful.
Nice. Sounds like a good trip.
Yeah. The boys had a good time. We got back, dried everything out.
Rinse and repeat.
It is.
That's 100% in. Yeah. And then all of the other updates we're going to do on a different show. Because
yes.
Matt and Kara don't listen to me talk for like 2.5 hours about all that stuff. I drove 14 off-road trucks, Jeeps, and SUVs in like a day and a half and have like driving impressions from all of them. So.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was active.
What's your thought of everything?
Exactly. That's
right. If listeners can read these thoughts on offtheroadagainpodcast.com.
Yeah, the post is up there where I just did quick things, and I'll do individual deep dives on all of them later. But like, if it's a pinnacle vehicle for every other than like AT4X, I drove it. Like,
would you say that the best performing?
Which one?
The Jeep.
Oh, see, this is where we get into the
weeds. You drove a 20th anniversary 392.
I did drive a 20th anniversary 392.
Like game over.
Absolute giggle factory. If I had the 90 grand, I would have one, but like 90 grand. Like,
it's not just 90 grand. You got to consider all the gas money that you're going to be spending.
Right.
Well, and you got to call long
tax too.
You got to call Long Range America immediately and be like, can I get a bigger tank? Because
they don't have one.
They don't have one.
I know. Really? No.
The exhaust takes up the space where the long range tank goes.
Yeah. We had that talk with Holman.
Yeah. We can do something about exhaust.
That'll be on there.
Yeah. But if you want to save 20 grand, there's a Bronco Raptor.
Oh no, don't compare a Jeep to a Bronco Raptor.
No.
Well, no, that's literally why I was there to do that. The companies requested it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I could see why.
That would be fun. I love that opportunity. That would be a blast.
It was the kind. Well, I drove to Wisconsin to go do it. Ate dinner, slept, got up, drove vehicles, had another dinner, slept, took pictures with all the vehicles in half a day, and then drove the 9.5 hours home. So like,
did you take each vehicle on the same thing to test them? Okay, that's what I was like, how are we playing the system here, guys?
Yeah, standardized testing. Standardized off-road course. Which
makes so much sense when you go from like a Compass to a Raptor R.
Otherwise,
on the same course.
Otherwise, so, it's very much subjective.
Hilariously, I'm gonna steal a little bit of my own thunder. The Compass was able to go on the more difficult off-road course, and the Raptor R could not, based on width.
Width, yeah.
The Raptor R was too wide. Bronco Raptor could fit, but Raptor R was too wide to go.
Full size life, it's a thing.
Yeah. So I will say every Jeep product was trail rated and did the harder course. Like they knew.
Yep. Honestly, it crossed my mind so many times on this trip we were on Saturday. Like a 200 wouldn't have fit between the trees and some of the spots that we had. You know, it's just.
Is a 300 wider? I don't. I mean, it's not like we get it.
It's a non-issue right now. So,
well, there's an LX. So,
yeah, there's an LX, but I mean, that's, you know,
be a Lexus brand plus. Loyal person, Ross. I can't.
Yeah, fair. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Matt and Kara, thank you for joining us.
Glad.
You like to give the listeners your quick little elevator pitch, who you are, how you got into this, the YouTuber deal and what you're about.
So we're Ozark Overland Adventures, which is a YouTube channel.
And Instagram.
And of course, Facebook. Instagram.
And the social media.
Like, I think any legit YouTuber, you get into this accidentally.
Okay.
You start making videos because you just
want to share it with your family.
You want to share it with family and friends, and you know, because you enjoy the process of making videos, and things just start to grow unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. For us, it was very organically. We didn't.
Yeah, it was. This was always just a hobby of mine until spring of 2020.
I guess we started in 2015.
I mean, the name came 2015.
Yeah.
But as far as getting serious about the channel, I started really getting serious with it in the spring of 2020.
Hashtag COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had just hit that mark where you can be monetized with 1,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. We have always had this dream of when our youngest, when our two youngest daughters graduate and go to college, which now is 2.5 years away.
Almost two.
Almost 2 years. But when in the fall of 2025, the plan is to hit the road full time.
Oh, wow.
And full-time travel on the road, making YouTube videos. And so it was in the spring of 2020 that I thought, okay, maybe, you know, YouTube can be how we support this.
It was about the time where they were being called back into the office where we had to make the decision. Matt was just like, and his boss at the time, he was in IT sales, was super supportive of the channel, wore our hats. He may have been a patron. I don't know. But he was making two videos a week. And as long as his numbers were good in IT sales, you know, he could still do the videos because we shoot a lot of the gear stuff out here in our garage. And so Matt was like, if I go back to the office, that's going to take a lot of my time.
Yeah. I'll basically kill the channel.
Yeah. Like any progression that we had made during that time would just be a headshot. And so we knew that this was what we were going to step into in the future. And so we just threw the dice.
Yeah. So in August of this year, it'll be full-time YouTube for 2 years.
Wow.
And it's That's been crazy.
Seriously.
And crazy. I guess, and so much fun.
I guess you could say our goal of the channel has always kind of been to inspire others to get outside and to experience nature and all that it is, and also to educate people and how to do it responsibly. So that's what our intent is as far as the channel now. Just love to travel. And obviously we do Honest and Gear reviews on Tuesdays and then our trip videos on Fridays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, speaking to what you were just saying, I mean, it seems like you're bringing people with you and actually showing them how to do, like, practice what you preach, kind of, which there's not, you know, there's a lot of that, but it gets missed in some places. So it's good to see that. That's crazy. So shooting for full time in the fall of 25. Wow. Full time travel. Yeah. And it'll be, that's, you said 10 years from when the channel started.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good.
I work for the insurance at this point.
We understand.
He works as little as possible in pharmacy.
Yeah, as little as possible to pay the premium.
Fair enough. Okay. So why don't you tell us about some of the best and favorite places you've been and you know, stuff you've seen. Like, what's top of your list?
Oh,
I think it's different for both of us, so go ahead.
I don't know.
Ooh, good.
I can't think of any place I haven't liked.
I can think of a couple of places that I
haven't. I mean, like, Nebraska wasn't the best. Illinois is not the best.
The greatest time at Padre Island National Seashore.
No, Padre wasn't awesome. But
that's interesting. Everybody,
Colorado. Padre was fine once we sorted out the wind.
Once we found a campsite and it wasn't directly on the beach where you're eating sand and
it was
how we're contacts. And so, like, the sand, it was getting into every crevice. And I was just like, at the end of the day, this was also our vacation with our kids. And so I was just like, I do not want to spend, I don't know, were we there a week?
3-4 days, something like that.
That long days. On a, like, eating dirt.
Yeah. Yes. Sand and wind gets old real quick. Yeah.
It was a microdermabrasion that I did not want.
Yeah.
But it was free. It was not free. You no, spent a lot on gas.
There's a lot of emotional cost to that.
Oh, it wasn't free. Big campsite.
Yeah. We ended up, but $20 was the best week.
It was well spent. I mean, Colorado is always going to be amazing. You can count on that. Utah is going to be amazing.
Oregon.
Last year, we both fell in love with the Pacific Northwest. We went to the Overland Expo Pacific Northwest in Richmond, Oregon.
No.
Yeah.
No, Bend.
It's north of Bend.
It wasn't in Richmond, though.
It is.
Is it?
I feel like if you're traveling from Arkansas, I mean.
Yeah, you go ahead. Tell
me. Okay. We fell in love with we only had a couple days to spend there. We got to spend one overnight after the expo in Idaho, and it was just blew us away.
Redmond.
So neither one of us were right.
I knew he was.
Everybody loses.
Bend is real close. That's actual town. All right, we're gonna work.
We are very much dying to get back to the Pacific Northwest.
I'm taking the whole month of July off and traveling the West Coast with my best friend.
Yes, yeah. So we have big trips planned for the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that your favorite spot?
Currently, it's Maris Adventure Park.
Maris Adventure Park, yeah.
And the Paladuro Canyon in Texas. I got back from there a week ago-ish.
Last weekend,
yeah. And that park is incredible. It's ran by an amazing group of people. And it's basically like the Grand Canyon in Texas, and they have trails from mile to wild. As far as, and we have a trail here at Hot Springs Off-Road Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We actually have a trail there, and that's like our home off-road park where we go after we do an install or anything like that. We'll go out there and run the course just to check, you know, the maintenance on the rigs and see what needs to be, you know, adjusted or whatever.
Yeah, shakedown run.
Yep. Right. But as far as Maris goes, that was incredible. Matt did not go to that. I ran one of they ranged their trails there from green to blue to black. It's kind of like the ski slopes.
Mm-hmm.
I ran a black. It was actually the one that Light Bright broke their axle on. I got body I got Bonnie damage. But man, it was incredible and I loved it.
Ross, I mean, we were just talking to somebody about
it. I know, and
was it the life of me. I think it was Tinker. Was I think it was the FJ guy.
Maybe.
Yeah, I want to get out there. It's such a cool place. Oh,
it looks super pretty.
And it was an amazing event because it was just for women. And, you know, as far as women goes, there's not that big of a voice in the off-road field. We're making strides. So it was really empowering to see all these women out here. And you could have your husband, but the rule was is only a woman can drive. Mm-hmm. And so it was really, really awesome.
That's killer. I mean, we've had a whole bunch of Rebel Rally guests. So
I'm doing that in 2024.
Are you? Oh, yep. Hell yeah. That's great. Yep.
Me and the girl that I'm traveling. So we're taking all of 2023 off and spending the time. Because you can be friends with somebody, but willing with somebody and knowing like what happens, how do they react to stress? What happens?
Oh God, yes.
She drives the Discovery. And so going from both. Yeah, they actually have both and they have an FJ40 and all that world. And
they're
so,
Land Rover people.
Yeah, they're Land Rover people. That's why I actually just got a Land Rover RC car. so I'm taking my Jeep to do the Rebel. So that way she can kind of, we can learn things from each other.
That is awesome.
That is 100% the stories we've heard from any competition team we've talked to from the Rebel. They're talking about like knowing each other and how they're going to react to stress in the car. Yeah. That's a different relationship.
Absolutely. Cause it's just, I mean, you're stressed out mentally out there. Like you're exhausted and taxed. Like you've got to know how to wheel your rig. You've got to know how to fix your rig. And we're both amazing drivers, but that navigation piece is going to be, that's where we're going to.
The black magic.
Yeah.
I'm good with some Gaia cause I'm married to the Gaia guru.
But you can't use Gaia,
but I can't use anything electronic. So.
That's awesome. Well, we'll have to have you back on after that. So right around then so we can talk about it because we've heard so many different experiences and so many different like crazy stories. I mean, speaking of wind, there was that dust storm that blew through camp. What was that 2 years ago, Chris?
2 or 3 years ago now. Like,
everybody ended up just sleeping in their trucks.
Well, and some of the tents were just collapsed based on sand. Like away. It was just.
Not to scare you or anything.
No.
Sounds like you just did this.
Yeah, no, I have several friends that have ran it. One of my friends ran it last year and then they're running it again this year. And then I have another friend who she did it 1 year with a person that didn't speak English. And so that was a whole nother dynamic.
I'm sorry, what?
So the person that she was supposed to be with backed out or wasn't able to do it. So she was, you can go online and set up if you want to be a navigation, like if you're a single person trying to get into the rally. And apparently her teammate that backed out, they found somebody else, but that person didn't speak English. There was only like some yes, no stuff. I think she was Korean. I'm not really sure.
Wild.
Run Google Translate in real time.
Yeah. Like she's on the dash. No, nothing.
You can't. There's no electronics.
I know. I'm joking.
Take all that away from you.
Yeah. So she said it was pretty much the loneliest and most emotional week. Cause that's just a whole different, like that. That's incredible. I can't imagine.
Yeah. So you're going to take the, sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, you're good.
You're taking, the Wrangler.
Yes.
Okay. Are you taking the two Jeeps on pretty much every trip now?
It just depends.
Yeah.
It totally depends. We both like to drive a lot. And so, you know, if it just, it totally depends on the trip and what we're doing. Like when we went to New Mexico, you know, back in the fall, we just took the Gladiator, keep it simple.
Depends on how much gas we want to use.
Yeah. When we go to Pacific Northwest here in a couple weeks, we're taking both because we'll drive both Jeeps from Arkansas all the way to Oregon. And we will spend 2 weeks-ish out there together. Mm-hmm. Before the expo, exploring as much as we can together. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do the expo. And then when the expo is done, I get to drive home all by myself for 3 days. And her and Danielle are staying for another 3 weeks to go explore more and probably go into Northern California and maybe up into Washington, and who knows what they'll get into.
And I will say, it also depends on the trails that we're running. So like when we went, you're seeing Onion Creek here in the videos. So when we went out to Utah, that goal of that trip was for me to run Pritchett Canyon. That's what that I've built my Jeep all around, is that trail out there. So that was definitely our both vehicles were going to come there, because Matt wanted to not break again, which he did break again. But it depends on if we're doing trails together, if like, and also I just recently started working again. So before that, it's also part of our vacation. And so we didn't want to spend it's hard to spend a vacation with somebody when you're in two different vehicles, having to talk over radio. It doesn't feel very connected. So it just depends on a whole lot of different situations.
Yeah. Just depends on the trip.
Yeah.
But we both very much like to drive.
Yeah.
So right now we're kind of in the mode of taking both vehicles.
Okay. Do they perform? I mean, aside from, you know, obvious things like wheelbase, they perform similarly on the trail?
They are built very similarly.
I'm a better rock crawler than his.
the whole Shots Wrangler fired versus Gladiator debate, we will both say, if you're hardcore rock crawling, Wrangler's the way to go. Mm-hmm. If you are hardcore overlander, Gladiator's the way to go.
Just space.
As long as the trails aren't too tight, then he can make the turns.
Yeah, not make a turn.
You've hit some trees.
The trail was plenty wide. You still hit the tree.
I'm not used to the long way.
Dude,
that's fun.
I came from a Wrangler to the Gladiator. She's always been in a Wrangler. She loves the Wrangler. I freaking love the Gladiator. So they're both awesome rigs.
Cool. Is Jeep the natural place that you've landed, or have you always been in Jeeps and then this is just like the manifestation of all the stuff you want to do and places you want to go?
I mean, I've loved Jeeps since I was a kid. My dad, when I was I think 14, my dad brought home I don't know if it was a late CJ or an early YJ that someone had customized and had a V8 in it, and it was beautiful. And he told me that when I was 16, that was going to be my vehicle. And when I was 15, he sold it. pissed me off. So I've always loved Jeeps. I mean, just the ability to take the top and doors off, off-roading and stuff. I've always loved the outdoors. So it was, I've always loved Jeeps for that.
Mm-hmm. I've had a Volkswagen Bug before. So, I mean... But I've also had like a Jeep Wrangler, Jeep Grand Cherokee, Jeep Renegade. I had a Bronco on order right whenever the Broncos first came out, and they couldn't meet demand and they kept pushing it. And I was just like, no, I got a pink Jeep instead. No regrets.
Nice. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's really the top and doors being able to come off is the coolest thing. Mm-hmm. Since we've been wheeling them, there's no way I would have any other vehicle in a Jeep.
I want an FJ40.
But you don't want to wheel it full time.
No, but I want an FJ40.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we would love to have 40
in December. Rigs. That is what I want for my birthday.
Yeah, we would love to have some project vehicles. Some classics, an old CJ7.
That's why I have the RC Land Cruiser.
That sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But as far as what we're going to be driving and wheeling, we're Jeep people.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, I've been with other people who have 4Runners, and you can't deny the comfort. I've not driven Danielle's Discovery or her back Defender. Back down
the driveway.
Oh, I've never. I mean, but that's weird. Just off trail, I had the Grand Cherokee, and it was so comfortable. Yep. But at the time, there just wasn't anything as far as, like, aftermarket body protection, because it was during COVID. There's pretty much just two people that make a thing, and that's Chief Products and Off-Road.
Something Monkey.
It's limited. For
very limited. Yeah.
Both WK. Up in Australia. Yeah. And we couldn't get parts for it. We could never get a bumper to put a winch on it.
Yeah.
So
I just want to have
we couldn't wheel it here in the places that we did.
Yeah. I mean, I took it up Hell's Gate, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's not nothing.
No. I mean, it's was crazy capable and comfortable.
And it had air conditioned seats, so in the hot, it was nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
I missed those really bad.
The Grand Cherokees are super nice, almost to fault, if that makes sense. Like, they're so well engineered and so.
The newer ones now have like lounging seats.
Yeah, the new ones are really nice. It's a shame that they got rid of the V8 in the two row, the standard length Grand Cherokee. But yeah, actually, my parents, when I was at their house on Monday, said they were at 249,990 miles on their WK2. So these things can, you know, put up with some abuse as long as they're
that's
maintained.
That's after the dealer had it for how many months?
We don't talk about that. that was COVID supply chain shortage debacle. Transmission took like 4 months.
I had to stop right there. You saw everybody in those comments.
Yeah.
I stopped at the very top because I wanted a picture. Like that video has went viral on all things. It's insane. Like, I think it's like millions.
Several millions.
Yeah.
You're at 157,000 likes.
Yeah. There's no amazing audio in the background. It's just iPhone video with wind noise.
Yeah.
You can't predict viral.
No.
You can't. Yeah, that video has gotten like 2 million views on Facebook, 3 million views on Instagram.
Can't keep up with them.
In the month that we put that out there, because of that video, our Facebook grew to 5,000 to 25,000 followers.
Damn.
Instagram's at 35,000 followers now. We were at like 8,000.
It's crazy.
It's just bonkers because of that video.
Yeah.
That's wild. So speaking of taking the doors and tops off on the Jeeps, you ever have any exciting moments where there's like sudden rainstorm or, you know, like trails dry and suddenly there's a huge mud pit and it's just in?
I learned my lesson very early on. I do not wheel unless we're like in Moab, you know, we're at an off-road park. If we're on an overlanding trip, if I'm in the Ozarks, I don't wheel with the top and doors off.
You get smacked.
Because you're going to get smacked in the face with branches and the dust is horrible. But I learned early on, my first Jeep was a 2008 Sahara four-door. I got it in 2012. I was out in the Ozarks. It was completely stock. And it spent the day visiting waterfalls and just, just exploring trails. And most of the day had been going through mud puddles that were maybe a foot deep and came across this one that I thought was just like every other one that I've been through.
And he didn't
know.
This is before he checked them.
I was driving through and just boom, nose dived into it. Water started coming in over the sides of the door, you know, because the doors were off. Water started coming inside. It was that day I learned where the drain plugs were.
Yep.
And so learned a big lesson that day.
Yeah. It's funny.
It's like, you immediately pull the drain plugs and it's still filling with water. It's not.
It was a lot of water in there.
Yep.
When we did Pritchett, we did it with the doors and the tops off and it was calling for snow. And like I had 5 layers up top, 3 layers down below, and a hat. Like, it was very cold.
that's Jeep, chilly.
Jeeps have good heaters, but not that good.
They make these things called lava jackets for Jeeps. And so basically it's like a jacket with like other arms coming out of like the middle section and they screw onto your vents.
Yeah. So it puts the heat directly into your coat.
Or air. If it's hot. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like a little spacesuit.
I know.
Yeah.
You'd always do like
you don't have them, but
I couldn't get up in time.
Like a snowmobile suit with a plug into the 12 volt, you know.
Don't mind me as we drive downtown freezing.
Yeah. It's crazy. Some of the people that we ride, you know, I ride quads, but the guys with the UTVs, they have like full cabin enclosures with air intakes to vent the dust out, and they got AC and heat and everything. And it's like it's cold or, you know, hot if you're not like insulated like that. But I mean, the creature comforts, you know, aside from, you know, doors and top coming off and everything, heated steering wheels and air conditioned seats and all that stuff that that makes the comfort on the trail now is just, it's not what I remember it being when I was a kid.
No.
You know, those vinyl seats and YJs were like my, I remember my legs getting stuck to them in the summer.
I don't even have heated seats because I actually drove to Alabama to get my Jeep. And it's at a beach area. So they
didn't invest in those.
They don't have cold weather packages in Mobile, Alabama.
I'm so sad. Oh,
that's funny. I never thought about that.
I just love that you guys drove Onion Creek because I went up at 2 back in March and your videos are exactly what I remember.
It was so beautiful.
It is not a difficult trail, but it is gorgeous.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was such an incredible day.
You can see it snowing there in the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were there really similar times because I definitely got snowed on my first day out there too. So
yeah, we went the week before Easter Jeep Safari.
Yeah. That's
the end of March. Yeah. We were there.
Was that when you were with Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. We had him. He was on the show. Chris, when was he on the show? Probably like a month ago.
Yeah. I would say it was before Easter. So it was back in like February, March. Yeah.
Oh, man. Time is just
such a great guy.
Yeah. Sean was great. Sean was fun. He's done well for himself. And
how could you not in BC, man? It looks incredible.
Yeah, well, he just posted more snow wheeling pictures the other day. I was like, homie, it's hot down here now. What are you doing?
Yeah, his cinematography is really like taken off. But
it is.
Also, he's a freaking lunatic building that Jeep. Like, he's asking for, you know, broken parts. I don't know.
Well, seems like it's broken now. The transmission went out on it.
It was the trans. I don't know.
He first messed up his transfer. Was it his transfer case?
He's got a crack in his transfer
case. He got a crack in his transfer case, but then he got that fixed at that summit place in Arizona. And then on the way home from that, his transmission blew up.
That's terrible.
It's been a nightmare trip for him.
Are they the components that came with the engine or are they stock
Jeep? I don't know. I think he's contacting America's Most Wanted. Is it America's Most Wanted?
Yeah.
I'm always saying that about like a person that's like escaped from jail.
Right.
America's Most Wanted. Yeah. America's Most Wanted. I talked to him today. They have a transmission for him. It's just a matter of shipping it to him.
Hmm.
So
yeah, it's like the old.
Yeah, because he's in Canada. So. Yeah.
Right. Got to go through customs. I think he's going to be sitting there for.
Yeah. That's the downside to. Yeah, doing a custom Hemi swap like that is when you have something break, you can't just go to the dealer or, you know, his transmission is covered under warranty because he hasn't had it that long. But it's not like you can just go to the dealer and get a new transmission. You got to deal with logistics of, you know, how they, you know, they got to ship it to Canada. He'd have to drive to, Arizona, I think. And yeah, so that's an issue with it. You know, I got to drive his Gladiator in Moab, and it is stupid fun. Stupid.
Except people saw it behind you, and you constantly hear this. makes you feel loud. Like you're like, am I going too slow? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, of course, people saw the videos, and they're like, you know, so Matt, when you get in the Hemi swap for Sully, when you get in the 392 or the Demon or whatever.
Yeah.
Honestly, after hanging out with Brad and Regina and their 392,
and their need for gas,
and hanging out with Sean and driving his and all that sort of stuff, I am perfectly happy with my little stock V6 that gets the job done and it takes regular gas. And if there's an issue, you know, it's pretty easy to fix.
I just want to install the sound that it makes.
Yeah. If my V6 dies, I've got a friend with access to them and I'll just put another V6 in it.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about keeping the powertrain stock because that's a pretty difficult thing to try to, you know, make
sense
of.
Not only that, like his Jeep is a beast. Like, you know, it goes to the driver. The driver has to have skills, but also the way you build up your rig, you know, you get to a point whenever it's just like, this isn't a challenge anymore. And you do it for the challenge. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, okay, this is what it is. So It is well to be said, even with you guys driving the Lexuses. I mean, y'all are doing things out there that are like testing y'all because your rigs are built differently. So you have to think differently. So I definitely can see the point where, you know, not having things overbuilt.
You don't want 40s anymore?
No, I still want 40s. But I have to get him out. And then, like, it's like you give him the cookie thing and he just
keeps getting. Yep. It's also so interesting how over, let's call it the last like 10 years, it's gone from, I remember if you had lockers and 33s, like when the first Rubicon came out, that was huge, you know, and then it was 30, then it was 35s. And like, if you had an XJ on 32s, that was a lot for an XJ.
Now my Jeep came with 35s and I'm now on 38s.
Exactly. And it's just,
gladiators don't even look good until they're on 37s.
Seriously, and it's taken its toll a little bit on the trails. You know, so many of the obstacles are getting undercut or just rutted out, you know, in a bad way. But it's also, it's just upping the game. You know, like
at what point does it 40s get to where that people can't enjoy it? Yeah.
I mean, when Jeep released the JLs and then the Gladiator, you know. Putting 37s on the new Wranglers and Gladiators is so easy. It requires so little lift and no axle modifications. It's just,
with 2 inches of fenders.
37s is the new 35s. I mean, a lot of people see a Jeep on 35 and it's like, it's so small.
A lot of people don't even realize Matt didn't want the JL or the Gladiator. He didn't want all the electronics. He didn't want it. He liked his JK just fine.
I did. Loved it.
And so we were looking at campers because, you know, we were like, well, what are we going to get a van? Like, what's our next, like whenever we just spent an afternoon planning the full-time thing. And then he was like, and then I thought, what about an Alucab on the back of a Gladiator? And he's like, I don't know. I've never tested a Gladiator. He tested a Gladiator. And like the next night we were like crunching numbers and trying to figure out how all of the things work.
On the configurator. Oh, yeah,
there's our home in 2.5 years.
Yep.
That's our trailer. How much does the trailer weigh, roughly?
The Conqueror weighs about 4,000 pounds fully loaded.
Okay.
And that's my new addition, the Off-Track Phoenix by Expedition Trailers. I pull it now because I can't pull the Conqueror. And so for me to have a base camp at a lot of the women's events that I'm going to, it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. What's the tire setup on the two trailers? Are they interchangeable or do they, cause I know a lot of people match the trailer tires to the truck tires.
Getting new tires. So I have, I have the Nitos on my Phoenix, but we're fixing to get the we're Milestar fanatics. We love the Patagonias. So I'm fixing to get the Milestar XTs, I believe. Mm-hmm. We contacted our contact there with Milestar just to figure out if the XT versus the MTs. I have MTs on my vehicle, so I just didn't know if I should match that. But I probably won't be taking that in a whole lot of MT areas. yeah. It can go. It did this past weekend, but he's going to be taking it out too. So I guess I can't say it's fully mine.
Not fully yours. Mostly yours. Yeah. The Off-Tracks has 30, I think they both have 33s on them.
Yeah.
They're not interchangeable and we're not going to, put matching tires because we've got 38s on our rigs. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to put matching tires or anything. That'd be ridiculous on the trailers.
Yeah. You'd have to change axles and geometry and everything just to get that
problem. And at the end of the day, we want them to be dependable.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do anything.
It's not like they're willing,
We're not doing major modifications or anything like that. The Off-Tracks is obviously able to go more places than the Conqueror can, just because of size and weight.
And we don't take the Conqueror a lot of places now, and a lot of people ask if we still have it. Yes, but that's our home in 2.5 years. So if we get in some kind of accident, we're going to be screwed. So like we just want to take care of it until we get to that point, and then it's going to be like a huge like we set up our home wherever we go, right?
Yeah.
So
good.
Do you get homeowner's insurance then, or is it still vehicle insurance?
It's still vehicle insurance. Yeah.
Sounds like a silly question, but if you're like, totally mobile,
Yeah.
So you've alluded to full time on the road and some upcoming trips. What else is in the plans and the cards? You have any, a lot of people are doing the crazy, like, you know, tuck to yuck tuck all the way down to the Tierra del Fuego kind of thing. Anything crazy?
I don't know. I mean, right now, you know, we've got kids at home, so we're limited on how long we can be gone at this point. Once we are on the road full time, kid come home, dog's nuts.
Sorry.
I knew that you were talking about them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of kids,
you know, so when we're on the road full time, we honestly don't know what that's going to look like.
It's going to be nice to not know.
Yeah.
Not have an agenda, to be able to go where we want to go.
I mean, we obviously know, you know, we know some places that we want to go. And the plan is with the Conqueror.
I mean, we want to go to like Costa Rica. We want to go to, we want to go everywhere that we can.
Obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the plan with the Conqueror is to drive it to a location, set up base camp, and spend 2, 3, 4 weeks in that location and exploring the area and soaking it in. And then,
or if we get tired of someplace,
if we get tired of someplace, yeah. Within a week, we'll bail. But we just have that flexibility to go wherever. You know, I've been to Moab 6 times now. And the last couple times I've left Moab, I've said, you know, I don't care if I ever run another name trail again.
Jeep has a badge of honor.
Like, yeah. I don't care if I run Pritchett Canyon again. I'm sure I will.
I want to.
I don't care if I run I don't care if I run, Onion Creek again. I want, there's so much BLM land out there.
Yeah.
Leads to amazing places that aren't the name trails, mm-hmm. that I want to take the Conqueror out there, set it up somewhere on the BLM land, you know, maybe on the rim of, you know, with the Colorado River below, and just stay there for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And explore.
I've always said that if we keep on going to the places that we've always went to, there's so much that we're not going to see. So I definitely want to be able to go everywhere. It's on our list.
Yeah. I mean, people ask us what our favorite place is. Our favorite places are the places we haven't been yet.
Yeah.
That's what drives us, is seeing the things we haven't seen yet.
And there's so much. There's just so much in this world. It always saddens me for people that are just very much 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, don't experience the culture, the people, the places that's out there, because we can learn a lot from each other. And so it's just, I want everybody to get out and explore it.
So what that's gonna look like long term, I don't know. Yeah, we may spend 6 months in the Conqueror and go, this sucks,
right,
and sell it and get a Sprinter van. You know, we may live like that's I mean, this plan started with getting an RV and pulling my Jeep. How this started, and then it evolved into a Sprinter van and a Jeep, so we can get the Sprinter van in more remote locations than we could an RV. And then she discovered the Conqueror, and that can get even deeper into places, being pulled behind the Gladiator.
And that's
we don't know.
You have to mentally also be fluid, right? So you can't be like, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to be, because things may not end out the way. There's always something new coming out, you know, just be able to adjust what you want to do and just be able to experience. You don't have to have a huge RV. You don't have to have a Conqueror. You could just have your hammock and your rig, right? And you're just experiencing things that way. Mm-hmm. Just be adjustable, flexible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we may sell everything and just live out of the Gladiator.
I don't know about that.
Drove on somewhere.
Or we may decide that, you know, in 2 years, this life sucks, and we buy a house in Nevada or Utah or Colorado.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know. That is not going
to happen. No idea what that's going to look like.
That won't happen. Yeah.
So that won't happen.
But that's the kind of uncertainty you can enjoy.
Yeah.
Because it's all positive, forward looking stuff.
Yes.
So that's good to hear. You got to make it to the Northeast, though. We got some fun stuff up here.
Oh, we will.
I would love to get up there. The farthest I've been to Michigan, but not any east. like
come in the fall.
As far as you've been.
That's
funny because I consider Michigan the East because it's in the Eastern time zone. Like
is, and it shouldn't be.
So right. Not.
It should not. What it should be Central. Because it shows up and curves into it.
Why? Like it picks counties in Indiana for daylight savings time. They hop between East and Central time zones. Oh,
here we go again. This is like our every five podcast rant.
It drives me nuts that people that live in the Eastern time zone are always like, no, we're from the Midwest. I'm like, really, guys? You're in the Eastern time zone.
Have y'all ever been to Lake Superior?
Which one's that?
Upper Peninsula biggest, of Michigan.
The Superior one.
Negative.
The Superior one. The most Superior. I've been in some of them.
Speaking of Michigan.
That's one of our favorite place of ours.
Where is?
In the UP and
Copper Harbor.
Harbor, Lake Superior.
What's that island or
something? It's the Keweenaw Peninsula is what they call it. Keweenaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been that up to Superior yet. I've been in Lake Michigan. I'm pretty sure Huron. I've seen Lake Erie, and I think I've been in Ontario.
It's Drummond Island.
Without the salt. It's the weirdest. Your mind cannot wrap around because you're not seeing anything but water out. And it's like you got the waves, but it's crazy.
So my wife works in international logistics, and so she deals with ships on the lakes every now and then. And they refer to them as freshies. They have salties and they have freshies.
That was on one of the plaques that they were talking about, the cargo ships.
It was a weird, like, I picked it. She used it in conversation the other day. I was like, I don't have a clue what we're talking about right now. You need to explain to me. I was like, was someone giving you lip? Were they being fresh?
She's like,
it's salty. The ship.
That's funny.
So no, the nice thing was she didn't call it a boat. She and I grew up as rowers. Like we understand the difference between a ship and a boat. Like we got it.
We are off in the weeds here.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All right, Ross, do you have more questions? Where do you want to go next?
I mean, I could go all over the place.
I'm sad I missed them at More Expo because I was down there too and I didn't run into them. How
did you run into us?
I don't know. I had a 12 or my soon to be, he just turned 12. I had my 12-year-old with me. So he was just like,
you're literally out front.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like a butterfly that day. Like he walked up to Polaris for like the first booth. And I was like, just grab a sticker, dude. He's like, wait, you can take stuff? Like, yeah, but it's giveaways. And then at that point, like Polaris handed him an entire sack. And it was like, just
the swag,
make man. Sure I bring him home. Like,
did you think, was that your first time at Moore?
Yes, it was my first time I've been down there. We'd had Chris on the show before the very first expo, and then just literally, like, Springfield's only through like 2 hours and 40 minutes away, and I just never had gotten down there. Also, it was moving it to April helped us.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, there's always winter sports going on when we were still in February, and I was like, I wanted to go, but.
We love that expo.
Yeah.
It's great. It was a good little concentration, and I didn't have to drive 8 to 12 hours to go to it.
Are you going to be at the Big Iron Overland Rally in October?
Maybe.
What is that?
It's the one at the Big Crane, Ron.
At the
Ross.
Okay.
So Ross has seen Big Brutus before because I took a trip down there just to go, like during the pandemic, I think we went down to just sightsee.
Yeah.
And then the Overland Rally had started, but I haven't been to that one yet.
It's a fun event. If you like live music, it's Overland Rally meets music festival.
It's super chill. Yeah.
It's so chill and it's a lot of fun. There's some vendors, small vendors, but it's mostly just hanging out, listening to bands.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Van Do It before?
No.
Mm-mm.
So they're KC based. They do transit vans, all wheel drive transit vans. With your earlier discussion, it made me think of that as well.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they've been down to Big Iron before at least once, but I'm.
Name kind of sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't.
Maybe. I don't know.
They were at Moore, but it was just Chad in one van, and he was being very chill. Like he was not.
Yeah.
wandering around. Like, he was just hanging out in the van. So,
Are you going to Expo East?
It's tentative.
Tentative right now.
Tentative last year right we now. Did all of the expos.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Like literally all.
I'm laughing, and I only went to two last year. So
we did all four last year.
We won't be at Mountain West.
We had a conflict with West this year. We will be at Pacific Northwest because absolutely. That's our favorite one of the four. Mm-hmm. We won't be at Mountain West because we didn't like it. And
what? Mountain you West didn't like standing in a field in Loveland and just being hot and dusty dust for bowl? 3 days straight? No.
We have a video of us packing it, and it's like these. It's like a tornado sandstorm because we were helping Miles.
We were helping Miles Star team pack up their boots. Oh, and it was
miserable.
Yeah, it was like a. It was horrible.
Yeah, and I didn't see any other YouTubers out there helping their people. No, I'm just weren't. Saying.
but yeah, but instead of Mountain West, we will be at Smoky Mountain Jeep Invasion in Pigeon Forge. They're the same weekend.
So have you been to Pigeon Forge before?
I've been to Pigeon, yes. It's been like 25 years since I've been to Pigeon Forge.
I refer to it as Flat Branson because it's all the same places. It's just flatter in one road.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We may go back to East because that's the closest one to
us. Yeah. It's on our calendar. So we're planning to go. It's just a matter is we're
okay.
We don't have firm plan yet because it's in October. And October is stupid packed for us.
Yeah.
Best month of the year.
It's crazy. I mean, we've got six things in a row just back to back.
Not to mention two kids' birthdays. Yeah. With everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's chaos. I'm trying to plan one kid's birthday and that's chaos alone.
Yeah. She's young enough, it doesn't matter.
Not to her.
She's not gonna care. Your wife's gonna care, but that baby's not gonna care.
That's the catch.
How old is
he? He's 11 months right now.
Oh. He's about to be one.
That's a one. That's a big deal. You can't say that.
I keep joking we should have like a kegger and just invite everybody.
People. I think we had 30 people for 30? My first birthday. Yeah.
Wow. I think we got 20 invites out there.
Because it's the first one. It's new. It's a big deal. But like by the time
the first birthday is the birthday for the parents.
Yes.
100%.
And like I said, the kid has no involvement in that thing whatsoever.
Yep.
Can't open a present. Can barely walk.
She's going to be asleep for part of it because she's still napping.
She's still napping. Ross, she better keep doing that for a lot longer than 1 year.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Dude, I'm 32 and I still like napping. So,
I sent my oldest a reel today that was like, if you see someone in their 40s out past 9 p.m., they had a nap that day. And I identified with that.
Yeah.
I totally do too. I feel like I'm a 20-year-old until I hang around with 20-year-olds and I'm like, nope, I'm not.
Hard pass. Hard pass.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap up the show if you're all right, Ross.
Yeah.
I always check in. He sometimes has questions that he springs out at the end that came.
I don't want to stifle that.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've done a lot of good places here, and it sounds like we'll have another show either if we cross paths at East or around Rebel. So
yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So you can rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I would absolutely prefer it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Those are my big two I'm trying to push. You can like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Be sure to turn on the notifications. We do not nearly have as many subscribers as they do.
Not quite.
But I don't have a viral video out of the hot tub either, so I gotta work on that.
I mean, just take the Lexus through the hot tub and it'll work. Yeah.
Well, I had my wife's daily 2008 Sequoia out there in March, but I don't know if I can get in and out of the hot tub. So
I got the Gladiator in the hot tub, so it'll fit.
Is it? I think my Sequoia is wider than the Gladiator, which is what I'm worried about.
The issue with the Sequoia is going to be the approach angle.
Because
our friend drove his Tacoma on 35s into it. Because I took my Gladiator through it, and I've got the same approach angle as a Wrangler, so I drove right out of it.
Yeah.
Since she was getting into it with bed, I just drug that sucker right down there. Mm-hmm. But the Tacoma did not have the approach angle to get the tires on the wall.
Yeah.
That's but it also depends on the why.
Yeah, yeah, what kind of disrepair for the Sequoia?
Yeah, she's not looking for new bumpers yet. So,
I mean, you know, some good high clearance bumpers. Just tell you.
Yeah.
Know.
Yet.
Yeah, we're not doing that, Russ. Sorry. That's what the LX is for.
Fair enough. Can't argue that.
So you can follow, I almost forgot your names, Matt and Chira, Ozark Overland Adventures everywhere. You guys are one of the few. You got all of them.
Yep.
Yep.
Monopoly. So good well job. Played. Good job.
And then we also have Patreon too.
Yeah, that's handy. You could follow Hooniverse, the Hooniverse on Twitter, the real Hooniverse on Instagram. We did not get the same phrase everywhere. Sorry, Jeff. Ross is no not like the one from Friends, and I'm at Overlanding Dad. And we did it. We did a show. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That was fun.